Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
You have been following the news headlines as much as I do, especially when it comes to the Anglo-American BHP debacle. You would know that there have been ongoing developments. To put things into context, these are two of the largest mining houses in the world, all contending and vying to make sure that they are invested in the right commodities that through the various cycles of commodity prices will not only see higher prices but be sustained by higher demand. And for the moment, what we're well aware of is that BHP is looking to position itself as the world's leading copper producer by purchasing assets from Anglo American to make sure that it retains that position. Anglo American itself has also recently restructured its business, now looking to primarily let go of gold, I beg your pardon, diamonds through De Beers, and of course the platinum investments in Amplats, focusing on the likes of fertilizers and copper. It's been a back and forth. BHP saying, I want Anglo. Anglo saying, hold on, you think I'm too cheap. BHP making another offer. Anglo American coming forward again, and its shareholders saying, hold on, we still think that it's too cheap, but beyond that, we don't like the conditions of this deal. And now the two are still in negotiations, where they have until the 29th of May to provide feedback and output on the decision. It's a lot, as you can tell, but there's someone else who knows more about the story than what I do, especially from a technical perspective. That's Teddy Blesha, who is the CEO of Maharishi Institute, to give us some more detail and insight into the nuances of this particular deal that we need to pay attention to. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. Blesha, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Gugu. Can you hear me clearly? Because you're a little bit soft.
Perfect. I can hear you clearly, but I will slow down and perhaps project as well to make sure you can hear me better. Is this okay?
Thank you very much. It just sounds like you're a bit far away from the mic, but that's okay.
No problem. We're working on it. I guess my first question is just to help us understand the complexity of this mammoth deal that could potentially take place between BHP and Anglo American.
Yeah, no, so Gugu, it's obviously, you know, the largest mining deal, I think, in 10 years. It's a massive thing. And, you know, the piece that I wrote yesterday that came out in the Daily Maverick is ready to say that there's more at stake than what is immediately visible. And, you know, these are two giant mining companies, but they have a very different soul, a very different purpose, and they work in starkly contrasting approaches. And I think it's important as South Africans for us to understand the legacy, the contribution that Anglo American has made over the last 107 years that they've been operative in South Africa. And it's not a small thing if they do get swallowed up by BHP. This is a major change in a major champion of industry in South Africa. So, I think it's a very, very big moment for us as a country.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because typically we associate that with the socio-economic benefits in South Africa, jobs in the mining sector. Is this one of the aspects that can't be ignored?
Yeah, no, exactly. And so it comes back to why a company exists and what it's really there for. And certainly Anglo, right since 1950, I think in the 1950s, Ernest Oppenheimer, who was the founder, really coined the idea of stakeholder capitalism, that and he said that the aims of the group will be to earn profits, but to always do it in a way to make a real and permanent contribution to the well-being of the people and the development of Southern Africa. So really this idea of supporting communities and investing in South Africa and not seeing that this is only a plaything of shareholders. And what I'm concerned about is that, companies can comply with legislation. And we know in South Africa, we've got things like the Black Economic Empowerment legislation, which serves great purposes. But it can be just a checkbox exercise. Whereas I think what Anglo has done, and, you know, we've worked as a nonprofit organization with Anglo. I didn't start back then, but literally for 45 years. So in the time that I've been working with them for 29 years, I've worked with virtually every CEO of Anglo since that time period. And what I've come to know, and I've really been in awe of it, is that for them, this is not a checkbox exercise. This is how they do business. This is what they believe in. And They've uplifted the lives of millions and millions of South Africans. And that's why I think it is a big deal if they do get swallowed up and disappear.
This is a very refreshing perspective, because typically we often think capitalism is the evil big brother that's just in it for the money. But now that you've given us a bigger and better perspective around the story, I'm keen to understand what in detail and exactly South Africa does stand to lose should this acquisition and merger potentially take place.
Yeah, so Google, firstly, this is one of the longest standing companies in the entire country, 107 years old. Imagine that disappearing. I mean, it's not easy to build a 100-year-old company. You know, Vitz turned 100 about 2 years ago. I mean, how many things can you name that are 100 years old in South Africa? Mm. And there's a huge history. I mean, Anglo was very involved, pre-democracy and been very involved post-democracy. So I could give you literally 100 examples. It would take way longer than we've got. But, you know, right from the 70s, when there were very few, you know, schools available for young black people, multiracial schools, mm. Anglo funded a number of those schools. In fact, with our organization in the early 1980s, we started one of the most amazing truly multiracial schools, which had every year, like forever, has had 100% matric pass rates. They started some of the first, tertiary education institutions, like the, things like the Soweto College of Education, the Mangosuthu Buthelezi Institution, All Saints College in Bishu. It goes on and on and on. And then with ourselves, in recent times, like in August last year, Anglo donated us the crown jewel of their properties in the city. I don't know if you've ever been to 45 Main Street. It's a massive 42,000 square meter building. Mm. And they were offered, they had like about 10 offers for that building. And I understand that some of them were upwards of 100 million rand to buy it. And they ended up giving it to us. We literally paid 2 rand 30 for the building.
No way.
And Anglo said, we want to give this to the youth of the city forever. Because we provide free access to college education and school education, for young people, and everybody comes in on a bursary. And Anglo cared more about doing that than taking the 100 million rand. And they helped us with another building in the year 2005. We've been able to put 21,000 young unemployed people through education into jobs. Those individuals will earn over 59 billion rand in their working careers. And we just part of the thousands of projects like this that Anglo has been seeding and supporting and funding. We're doing a beautiful initiative now to protect and save Joburg CBD. You're going to see incredible changes in Joburg, and Anglo is taking the lead on these things. Which I can talk about something called Josie My Josie and what Amarashi Invincibility Institute is doing as part of that. So it's a company with ethos, commitment, dedication, leadership, sure. Et cetera. And the reason I want to talk about this is because everyone, as you say, is talking about just the commercial aspects, the views of shareholders and government, but nobody's actually seeing that, you know, this is really a big story to lose that. I mean, that's a big story. That's major contribution to industrialization of Southern Africa that's going to be disappearing.
Mm. I'm glad you highlight this, because it really does give us an insight into the soul of who Anglo American is. But I'm also going to play devil's advocate and say, has this changed? Because some South Africans might be pessimistic and say Anglo Gold has divested from South Africa. Their coal operations now changed to Thungela. And they've just recently announced in their restructuring that they're looking to separate from De Beers and, of course, divest from Anglo Platinum. So it almost seems as though there has been this long journey to a mass exodus outside of South Africa.
Yeah, no, Gugu, I think it's a very fair point. Look, I think Anglo has been a global company for a long time. They've been listed in the UK for a long time. And it's only natural that companies, it's a very tough competitive industry, and commodity cycles can be quite brutal. And you've always got to be able to guess, where the real markets are going to be. And so, for example, I think Anglo were really sharp to copper, which is major for AI, for EVs, for What else? Solar. It plays like a really, really critical role in energy transition, etc. And so they started buying up assets in Latin America, etc. So I think you know, these big global mining companies have to really think ahead where technology is going, where's there going to be big demand for certain minerals, etc. So that is going to happen, that kind of merging, dissolving, re-emerging. But even while they've done that, their commitment to South Africa has been really supreme. And so it's the DNA that we can't bear the thought of losing. And like, so for example, I mean, it's the largest initiative I know for education in South Africa. There may be bigger ones, for all I know, but they committed R1 billion to education in our country between 2018 to 2028. We're a tiny part of that. And so the commitment is real. So, I mean, if they're making money elsewhere, but they are putting investment back in South Africa, you know, that's a beautiful thing, because that's their roots, that's where they come from, and that's the commitment that they've always showed to the country. So I don't mind Anglo so much doing what they need to do to survive and, you know, thrive and be successful for their shareholders. You know, certainly they need to do that to continue to operate, but to reinvest some of that back into the country, that's what I love and what you know, I've seen so consistently now for decades.
I guess it might be an unfair question, but I'm assuming if you had the ear of the shareholder representatives who are voting, deliberating on this particular issue, how would you hope that they continue to incorporate this if potentially the deal with BHP does go through?
Yeah, so So I think, as you said in the beginning, last night was the deadline, and now they've opened up a one-week opportunity, the Anglo board, to meet face-to-face. You know, who knows exactly what that means? Maybe the deal now is a fait accompli. So I think it's just, you know, these board, you know, boardroom decisions are being made probably in the UK and elsewhere, far away from South Africa. But just, you know, to bear a sensitivity to, you know, that this is a huge champion national asset of our country, and that it is very important that that legacy of South Africa, of Anglo in South Africa, can somehow be preserved, and that those values, this is scarcely a time that we can afford to lose the kind of values that Anglo has demonstrated over decades and decades and decades. So, yeah, so we just hope that, you know, these decisions can become very commercial, and yet there's so much more to it than just the commercial aspect.
Such an important note to leave it off on there, Mr. Blesher. Thank you so much. There's so much more to just the commercial aspects of these acquisitions, and we really do need to be mindful of the purpose, the ethos, the soul of these businesses and the impact they have on society. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Teddy.
Gugu, thank you so much, and so nice to get to know you and to listen to part of your show. I've been just really impressed.
Thank you kindly, sir. Truly appreciate it, and looking forward to touching base with you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's the CEO of the Maharishi Institute, Mr. Teddy Blesher, who's given us some insight into the complexities, but also fully comprehending the full meaning behind the Anglo-American and BHP debate.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.